You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, Hannies, it's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On. Hi, everyone. I have the honor, the pleasure, the energy, honey, to have Buffy Purcell in the house. Let me read this. She is the author of Crawl Before You Ball and is a nationally, yes, honey, nationally recognized personal finance and tax expert seen on HLN, CNN, CNBC. Sorry, English is my second language, so the letters are hard for me. But you also know her from my favorite show, Married to Medicine, which I thought, for someone who had one season, you were the best one ever, all star. Yeah, that was my opinion, honey. And I'm not biased, even though we are friends. So... Hi, Buffy.
Hi, love. And listen, you know, remember, I wasn't really full cast on that show. I was the best friend ever, in my opinion, that people thought was full cast.
You better stay for the cheap seats in the back, honey.
Yes, honey. Hey, Amir, I wore my tie-dye.
Woo. I know, we're matching. Y'all can't see, but we're matching, honey. We're wearing
tie-dye. Great minds think alike.
Always. Listen, when you texted me, I was laughing because I was already in the tie-dye. I was going to change, and I looked down, and I was like, I'm already in tie-dye. So it's perfect. It is perfect. Well, let's talk about taxes because I know a lot of, there's a new tax date coming up, right, in December. So that's coming up. So what's your blanket advice for taxes? Because the people hear taxes, death, public speaking, those make people crazy. So how do you kind of diffuse that?
Pay your taxes.
Robin Nixon, are you listening?
Robin, girl, pay your taxes, Robin. Girl, you got the money. That's only two episodic fees. Pay them taxes. You know, and if you can't pay your taxes, the IRS gets a really bad rap. They will set up payment plans for people that are really livable. You know what I mean? That, you know, and if you can't, you know, like the automatic payment plans that they set up online, if you can't afford that, you can call collections and they will work something out. It's just you need to file your taxes. Actually, that's more important than actually paying the debt, which a lot of people don't know. You've got to pay those taxes because if you don't, the IRS will file it for you and give you zero deductions.
Oh, wow. So when they file on your behalf, you don't get any perks.
Nothing at all. It's like savage taxes. Like that's what you get for not filing your darn taxes and you go owe the max.
That's amazing. What about taxes like gets you going? What about it like turns you on? Is it the process of getting those like, you know, the deductible, like getting stuff back? Like when you do someone's taxes, what gets you going about it? Like what makes it sexy?
Well, you learn everything. You get in all people's tea when you do their taxes, honey. You know everything. You know all their business, what they spend money on, by where they live, what they drive, you know, all their business. And for me, you know, it's been my life mission to like help people learn to save, be smart with money. And so it gives me an opportunity. I call it my annual family reunion with our clients where I can fuss at them if they need to be fussed at and I can congratulate them if I need to congratulate them. And we're big about tax planning and strategy. A lot of people think it's a one time a year thing and it's not. You should check in with an accountant, your tax practitioner several times a year, especially if you have a business.
And what's the like biggest difference between a business tax and a personal tax? Like when you're doing your personal stuff, can you deduct like a dinner or is that only with business? Because I had a business and we would have business dinners and we could deduct that, but then could you deduct your personal dinners or no?
No, no personal dinners. But you used to be able to file a form 2106, which they got rid of under 45's administration, where you could write off business like dinners. So even if you were like wage based pay, like you receive a W-2 and you took out someone to get business. Let's say you were in sales and you received a W-2. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you could write that off, but now you can't. And so business deductions, you know, I encourage everyone, if you hate your job, hire yourself, because that's where it's at, darling.
That's good advice. That's yeah, that's really smart. Because then you have more, do you have more deductions that way?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you're more thoughtful in the way in which you spend, because now you don't have guaranteed income from a job. You are your boss. Mm-hmm. And so you tend to spend less. That's why I like it. You know, you learn more about wants versus needs. You're forced to when you're the employer, when you're the boss.
Got it. Because like it's coming out of your own pocket. That's interesting.
Right.
I want to spill the tea a little bit. Obviously, I'm sure you can't say names, but when you go through people's taxes, have you ever seen like anything salacious, like a mistress or like...
Oh, God, yes. Yes, darling. Oh. Yes, darling. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I actually would have clients come in as a married couple, and then the husband... or wife, because I've had some wives too doing their things, schedule a separate appointment with me and say, now these are my separate books. And there would be like, they paid a mistress's rent or paid for a Range Rover, paid for a separate phone. Like, I didn't understand how Tiger got in trouble, because I was like, dude, you don't have people? Like, it was bad what he did. But I was like, yo, you got your regular phone at the house where the girl's calling? Like, I don't know. And these are like business owners, not necessarily my professional athletes or celebrity, you know, type mm-hmm. clients. Mm-hmm. But yes, honey, I've seen it all. Yeah, strip club. What did I see? One time there was a condom in the receipts. My staff threw up. They were like, it's like, how messy.
The condom was in the receipts?
It was in the bags, in the boxes of receipts. Yes.
Oh my God.
I was like, how nasty can you?
That is nasty. Collecting those receipts turned you on. That's bizarre.
Right.
Bizarre. I hate doing that job. I hate collecting receipts. That's not.
Now people are good. It's all digital now. It's like all these apps. You can just snap a pic and the IRS has come out of the Stone Ages and they accept JPEGs. So we're good now in terms of that. Yeah.
Thank God. One of my friends, actually, her mom was in the IRS and we would talk about taxes a lot. And I remember being so scared. And then when you do it, when you file it on your own and kind of start learning, it actually is kind of fun to be able to move stuff around and get stuff back. And it's kind of like a puzzle game. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, I think that you don't necessarily need to hire a tax accountant if you're just filing your personal taxes and you don't own a business. Tax software is so good now. And I wouldn't have said that 10 years ago because I hated turbo crap. But... But I mean, it's good. It's 1 + 1 = 2, essentially, when you don't own a business. Right. And, you know, you save money. So it's fine. I mean, yeah, it's fun to do it yourself. It's empowering to file your own taxes and not have your mom or dad do it for you anymore.
There you go. There's that. I want to talk to you a little bit about like with when it comes to taxes with this whole Biden thing versus Trump. It doesn't matter who you voted for at this point. What it matters to me is like the whole tax conversation, right? They're saying if you're making more than $400,000, you're going to get a tax. If you're making more than, can you break that down, that whole, that fear that a lot of people have with these higher bracket incomes?
Yeah, so like really most people shouldn't be concerned about the tax bracket change, like the tax changes. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen all the memes where they're like, if you use Dawn dish soap to take a shower, you're not going to, your taxes ain't changing. If you have a popcorn ceiling in your house, your taxes ain't changing. You know what I mean? Like the shade of it all. But like you said, it's like if you earn $400,000 a year or higher, yes. But those people hire people like me to figure it out. So it ain't the end of the world, child. It really isn't. It's a political game. It's all it is. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And what about like, okay, so what happened to Wesley Snipes, right? Do you think that was really just taxed, or was it trying to make an example of like a celebrity?
It was trying to make an example of a celebrity and tax. I mean, Wesley was really bold and brazen and like, I'm not paying taxes, period. It's illegal, quoting crazy stuff. And he had really, really bad advisors mm-hmm. who actually believed this crap that they were telling him. And so, you know, they got to shut that down. He was too popular at that time. And, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, he's right. We shouldn't have to pay taxes. And, you know, it was just, you know, they made an example of Wesley. Yes, they did. and several others. Yeah, rightfully so. It's like, child, be quiet. Fight it in tax court. Nobody don't know about it. Don't be all out in the streets.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Right. Going to prison for some tax debt, child. Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. When did you get into taxes? Like, when was it like you were like, okay, this is giving me life?
So like everyone in my family essentially either is an engineer or they are tax accountants, like CPAs, enrolled agents. And so when I was 16, I started working in my family's practice after school. And I loved it. It was fun, you know, and it was easy for me. I've always been really good at math and super organized. And it's my family's business. Now, I was the little spoiled rich kid brat who then when I went to college was like, screw this, I'm not doing this, I'm gonna do something else. And I became a licensed mortgage broker and insurance agent, and then went on to start my own practice, and I had chandeliers in my office and a fabulous pink walkway and what are those things called? I forgot, we used to use in the background with the logos on it, the step and repeat.
You have your own step and repeat in your office.
Yes, honey. This was a long time ago. So my clients would come in and we would take pictures with them. I would tag them. And that was advertising for me early before people started thinking about doing that. Right. And my family's very like, blah, blah, you know, why would you do that? And then when I grew my practice to 5,000 clients, they were like, oh, can you come do that in my office?
You're hilarious. That was like success to shut people up.
Yeah, shut them down, honey. And they cut me off financially too, those bastards. And so then I made my own money.
That is hilarious. That's what happened to me. My parents cut me off and then I was like, I'm going to be a real estate agent. So then you start making your own coin. Yeah,
yep.
I get it. I see, listen, hustle sees hustle. We get it.
Yes. Yeah. And to prove ourselves are when we come from means to be like, yo, we could do this ourselves too, okay? Because there's always that thing where you came with a silver spoon in your mouth. Honey, it's harder sometimes.
It is.
And people they don't understand that. And they think our struggle isn't a real struggle, but it is, because you want to prove yourself, totally. You know?
Totally. Yeah. And downgrading is a lot harder than upgrading. So.
Yeah. From whence I came to where I had to go when I got cut off was not cute.
It was not cute. Speaking of popcorn ceilings, honey, there were many popcorn ceilings.
And no housekeeper to wash my laundry. Ooh, people are going to kill us. We so spoiled.
Honey, we're kind of real spoiled, but I've really gotten out of that and done my own thing. But it was tough for a minute. You know, I always said I was the poorest person you'd meet driving a Range Rover. I'm like, it's luxury at a distance. People are like, that's right. So good. I'm like, it looks good from a distance. Don't get too close.
You silly. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that we have that in common. I think that's why we clicked, because there's this certain group of people that came, like you said, from a silver spoon, and you have more to prove sometimes. Like,
yes.
You know, like the Paris Hiltons of the world, like she works so hard because it's like, you're trying to prove that you're rising above what your family has done or the money they have. So I really resonate with that.
And I love her story. I mean, she killed it. You know, she could have just sat around on her laurels and just been like, I'm hot. And she didn't. She branded and trademarked, I'm hot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
What about, okay, I want to talk to you real quick about, I'm so fascinated by taxes. I never knew I was until I met you. And then I got really into it. But commingling, my dad talks about this a lot when it comes to his business, and a lot of people do this where they commingle their funds. Is that really bad?
Yes, it's horrible. Okay. It's like go to jail bad. Okay. It's like embezzling money from your company bad. So, you know, I always tell clients, you've got to have two separate bank accounts, one for your personal expenses and one in income, and one for your business and business expenses. And the two should never combine. So like if it's a bona fide ordinary business expense, meaning it's something that is necessary for the operation of your company, pay it out of the business account. If it's you going to buy some lubes, you need to pay it out your personal account. It's not a business expense.
Not lube.
Yeah. No, I mean lubes, red bottoms, child, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you said lube. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to the lube.
No, lubitants. I'm sorry.
Got it.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that.
I got you. I'm like, they're going to put you in an article, Buffy Purcell saying, buy the lubes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, shoes and stuff, honey. Yeah. But yes, you have to keep it separate, because if you were to get audited by the IRS, they will make that all income to you. even if it is a bona fide business expense. And so if you can't show that you keep it strictly separate, then they're going to add what is an expense to you as income, and then you're going to have to pay higher taxes. So a good example is Georgia is like, I live in Atlanta, is big with film and TV now. And I have a lot of clients who are professional makeup artists or hairstylists or costumers, and costumers in particular, I'm like, you've got to have a credit card for your kit of costumes, and you've got to use a personal card for your clothing, because how do we differentiate between the two in an audit situation? And so, yes, it's very, that's one of the most highly audited things is commingling business funds and personal funds. So your dad's absolutely right. You have to be good on that.
He put the fear of God in us with that. I mean, with audits, like, are they random? Like, or they just happen random?
They're random. But there are people who have certain red flags for which you don't get audited. I mean, if you're writing off a Bentley as a business car, you gonna get, you know what I mean? Like, just silly stuff. Right. But then, yeah, some are audited. I mean, everybody should know that you're probably gonna get audited at least once in your lifetime. Okay. It's just gonna happen. And it may not be the traditional scary audit where you have to go and they sit with you for a week. It could be what are called correspondence audits, where they just send you a letter and they say, we need you to prove X, Y, and Z. Those are audits too.
Okay, that seems less scary. I always imagine someone with a black briefcase and they're coming in.
Yeah. I love audits. I like my clients. I love going. I bring snacks. My clients are not allowed to come. I make copies of all the paperwork so I can give it to the, and then the IRS loves me because then they don't have to make copies. Like, I make a whole 3 days of it with them and make jokes. And honey, as long as you keep people happy, everything works out.
That actually sounds fun. I kind of want to go with you. That sounds fun. Speaking of fun or not fun, we do need to talk about Married to Medicine. So.
Sure.
Let's get into
that. Whatever you want, baby.
We're getting in. We're going in. How did that come to be? And were you kind of on the fence about it? Or were you just like, I'm going to try, I'm going to jump in? Like, what was your vibe?
So I was actually asked to audition for the show several years ago. And my husband was running the psych ER at the Atlanta VA hospital, and I was, which is a very political position. And I was like, yeah, no, I can't really, you know, that would be not good. And so they kept contacting me, and Dave went into private practice, and I was like, okay. And so, you know, I was like, let's see. And I was promised that I would be a friend, not main cast, which meant to me that I was just going to show up and be cute at a couple of events, but that didn't happen. I was in every episode except one and the reunion. This little light of mine.
Yes, honey. Was there a reason you didn't do the reunion, or were you not, it wasn't on the...
I was at the reunion. I was in the reunion.
Oh, that's what I thought. I was like, because I thought you said you weren't in the reunion. Okay, got it.
No. I said I was in every episode except one, and I was at the reunion.
Oh, you were at the reunion. I was like, I remember you at the reunion.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the party that kind of everyone loved online, the frugal party, which I thought was genius, because I do that a lot where I'm like, everything I'm wearing is like $100. And I love to do that just on my own. It just, in my own head, it makes me feel like fun and I got a deal. So talk to me a little bit about that party and what was the like impetus for that?
So like, you know, I feel like reality TV is supposed to be aspirational television, but you've got to like make it attainable. Like everybody can't wear $5,000 in clothes every day and then live in a $3 million house and then drive a $500,000. Like, that's just not the real world. And really wealthy people don't do that crap anyway, as you and I both know. And so I'm very big on wealthy people don't wear their assets on their ass. And so, you know, I was like, I thought up a cute idea. I was like, okay, let's have this frugal party. The girls are going to lose their mind because, you know, they wear the Louboutins and the Chanel this and the YSL that, and only allow them to spend $500, which I thought was very generous. They were like, are you crazy? And I was just like, girl, my outfit was like, I think $46.
$500 is not bad. $500.
I thought it wasn't, but like shoes, bag, everything. Like, so for them, you know, that was, but I think it's harder to look cute on a budget. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And sometimes when you wear those labels, you still look a hot damn mess. And so.
Amen. Amen. I know many Persian people that Dior threw up on and they still don't look stylish.
Yeah. And so for me, it was like a teachable moment to show America that you can look good and not spend all your money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the girls embraced it and some of them didn't. And that's fine.
And that's fine. It is what it is. And speaking of that, you actually wore the budget friendly version of that pink blazer that Robin and Lisa Rinna and Erika Jane were all wearing. So
I did. And I was the first to wear it.
Yes, you were, honey. Yes, you were.
The night that elder OBGYN was evil to me.
That is true. That is true. Let's talk about this elder OBGYN. So that whole, I remember I was like bawling because I was just like, and of course at the time I didn't know you, but I was yeah. like, I just could imagine. And again, I'm a man, so I can't even go that far, but I imagine what it's like to be kind of exposed in a room. Like, it was not about, if she had brought you on stage and said, oh, Buffy, do you want to share your story? Given you an opportunity to say yes or no, that's something. But to expose someone, that was really tough for the audience to watch. So
yeah.
What was going through your mind? Did you want to knock her out?
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought I was like, is this really happening? Like, and if you see the footage that they did allow, you can kind of see that and everyone around me. And then I was immediately hurt. Mm-hmm. I was like, why would someone be that? Like, it's so violating mm-hmm. to try to pimp out my struggles to sell a book. Because that's what the event was for. And, you know, she later said that she was trying to relate to each lady. But the reality is the elder OBGYN and I have several things in common. We're very rigid. We keep our homes very organized and clean. We like interior design. We read a lot. We're both entrepreneurs. There are lots of things she could have, we could have connected on other than her exposing my pain. Mm. And then shaming me for reacting the way in which I did, which I thought was incredibly forgiving because I didn't jump on the stage and beat her up. I wouldn't do that. She's my mom's age.
Right. Right.
Not my contemporary. So I'm gonna curse out somebody that's my mom's age, you know, real talk. And, you know, so I felt like I was the debutante that I was raised to be. And I exercised a great deal of restraint. We are building a deck.
She's building empires and a deck.
That's right. A new one. It was getting on my nerves. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so it was painful. And to receive absolutely no support from most of the girls was also very shocking. Mariah was amazing. Toya was amazing. And the younger OBGYN pretended to be supportive.
These monikers are giving me life, honey. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think what for me, it's not necessarily what was said. It's the way it was said and the way that you weren't in on it. Like, had she pulled you aside and said, can I discuss your reproductive health on the stage? And you had maybe co-signed it. That's something else. But to then say it in the way she said it, where you're calling someone barren, like that's yeah. really extreme. That's not, this person has reproductive challenges. No, you're a doctor.
And she also, there was, I'm very bright and, you know, I know what she meant by that. It wasn't just reproductively barren. Mm-hmm. You bear no fruit anywhere. She was shading me. And I think that I made too big of a splash and I was neutral and kind to everyone. And that's her role. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit scary for her. Especially given that, you know, she's, you know, I'm not ageist, but I'm just saying she's not really everybody's contemporary. And, you know, to have somebody my age come along and be the voice of reason in most of the disagreements that were happening. And, you know, I think she was shocked that I could hold my own and I wasn't, you know, I guess, kissing her behind like the rest of them do. But you're correct. If she had pulled me aside beforehand and she had my cell phone number, she could have texted me and been like, girl, I want to share this. We have this in common. I could have prayed over it and then been prepared. But to have someone violate you like that on the spot in a room with 200 people that I don't know, and it's being filmed for national television. Yeah.
Not good. Do you think production was privy to it? Like, do you think they should have warned you?
They all said they didn't know.
Yep. We're looking real close to the camera. Y'all can't see, but we're not believing that.
Yeah, we don't believe that. But, you know, It's, you know, I think that they didn't understand. I don't know how you can't understand someone having had six miscarriages and not wanting to discuss that unless I say I want to discuss that.
Right.
You know,
science. I don't have I'm not a doctor, but she's a doc. She's an OBGYN dealing with that specifically. So how can she not realize people don't want to talk? They don't even want to tell their doctor sometimes.
Correct. And then even in the specifically in the Black community of women, you know, we're told from birth that we're supposed to be stoic and strong and you can never show any weakness. And if you cry, it's, you know, it's bad. And, you know, if you just need to suck it up and soldier on. And I just don't subscribe to that. I'm human. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband and I lost babies that we really wanted. And for us, it was a death each time.
Yeah, of course.
And deeply personal and painful. And for her to shame me and then say, you need to use your pain to make it your purpose, like I had no other purpose in life. You know, it's just, it's wrong. And I question her using her, like, you know, she said, you know, 15 years ago, breast cancer robbed me of my fertility. And I mean, if I were to do the math with her age, I think she was older than me at the time she was saying she was just trying to start having a child. And if someone came to her at that age as an OBGYN, she probably would tell them not to start. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she probably did want a child. But my thing is, you know, you didn't start as early as I did, right? And right. So don't shame me because I kept trying and it didn't work and it's painful for me to talk about it. And because now 15 years later, since your last attempt, it's okay for you to talk about it. Like, right. Give me some time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm younger than you. So this only happened to me the last time, like a year ago. So it's still fresh. And you're opening this wound and throwing salt in it and Pine Sol and Lysol and dancing around it and everything else. And so, yeah.
So before, when she said that, it had only been a year since your last miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, I wish that was really, like, I wish.
Well, they didn't ask. No one asked me other than Mariah and Toya. No one, she never asked. And like I said, she had my number. So you would think after that night, mm-hmm. you think she would have texted me and been like, girl, let's talk. Never happened. But wow. She did ask me where I got my couch from and if my, yeah. So she wanted to know about furniture.
Oh, okay. So she could text you about furniture, but couldn't text you about the huge mistake she made. And it, for me, when people say, make your pain your purpose, is so messed up. I remember when I was dealing with suicidal thoughts and depression, a lot of people would say, you can be an example. Well, bitch, I'm in the ditch right now. I don't want to be an example.
Right.
Like,
right.
8 years later, now I can talk about it because I'm good.
Right, right. That's and don't shame me because I'm sitting in my moment right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm married to a psychiatrist who firmly believes everybody isn't freaking happy all the time. That's what's abnormal. Yeah. We need to normalize the fact that you are not happy all the time. Uh-huh. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And let people just be them. Period. However, you get up and you wake up every day. Like I think I wrote when I made a response to what had happened to me, I said, you have no idea what I go through every day to go out into this world. And you don't know what other people go through every day mm-hmm. to wake up, get themselves together, put that armor on and go out in the world. You don't know what somebody else's pain is. So be careful what you say. And if you trip up because we're human, say you're genuinely sorry. And until the person is good with it, not till you feel like you're done with it. Mm-hmm. That's the other crap.
Well said. No, well said. It's true. And I, you know, and even the apology was very aggressive.
Yeah.
And I've apologized. Like,
okay. Like, well, you know, they didn't play some of my confessionals where I was like, who is she? Jesus of Nazareth? I mean, like, what the heck is going on? Nobody at that table other than Toya and Eugene and my husband stood up for me. Like, I was just like, do y'all hear her yelling at me? And all I said was, I didn't appreciate you. And I said it like that. I didn't appreciate you saying that I was infertile. And I got like, it was like I called her every other name other than a child of God. And I did not.
And you did.
And what they didn't air is that the dentist said that she's the one before I started cussing out the dentist, she said, well, Jackie said you're infertile. She didn't lie, did she? Your uterus doesn't work. I mean, just the level of evil.
But nothing heavenly about that comment.
No.
Yeah.
And that ain't her real name.
You know it. It is a little south of the border. But yeah, I mean, I think that with those comments, I love what you said. If you say something, you're human, you misstep, you apologize. But a lot of times I feel like people are like, apologize, and they say the words, but there's no feeling behind it. I'm sorry. Are you over it yet? It's like, wow, that's not the same energy.
And that's what I got. And I also got, well, you keep bringing it up. And I never brought it up because I didn't want to talk about it. Everyone, the producers brought it up. The other girls brought it up because it was a big thing for the season. It wasn't me. And if you saw me cry, if it's somebody who doesn't want to talk about having lost six babies and people keep throwing it up in your face and you're getting no support from your female, the women who are in your circle on the show, it's a very lonely, very, just sad place to be. And I, you know, I upped my therapy after that. I was going 3 times a week. Wow. I'm not ashamed to say that. I had to go back on medication. And, you know, it is what it is. It just, it took me back to a dark place. And, you know, some good came out of it. I always look for the good. It caused David and I to revisit that and to talk about what it is that we want to do moving forward. And, you know, he saw that I wasn't fully healed from it because, you know, you get pushed to where you got to put on a brave face for everyone else. I was able to be vulnerable in a way in which I hadn't been before with my husband. And when I tell you that my baby supported me, honey, I would never leave that baby. Never. He had my back.
He's wonderful. He's like, he's such a sweet light. And I think that sometimes when we get in that darkness, all we need is a flashlight. And I feel like in some ways he picked up the flashlight and took kind of control of that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Was it nice in those moments to have, like, to have him there? Because, you know, him being a psychiatrist and having the knowledge, was he really able to have the right words? And obviously you had your own therapist, but a lot of people might mistakenly think, okay, is your husband giving you therapy?
Oh, no. He's my husband when we're home. Okay. He's not my psychiatrist. That's not allowed. It's unethical and it wouldn't work. But no, he's my man, you know, he's my rock. He's my teddy bear. He, you know, showed me the love and support that a husband should. And he had my back and he checked them in his David way when he needed to, you know.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I think it's crazy because I want to talk a little bit about the misogyny in with a female body, right? My friend had a miscarriage and her mother-in-law turned around and said, that's your job, is to have a baby and you fucked up, you know? So where do you think there is such misogyny in that, right? In that, like,
Women, men, everyone, to say that a woman's primary and only goal is to and birth, the reason that she was brought into this world is to bring forth children, is extremely misogynistic. It's extremely and it's painful. And like for me, you know, I thought that the girl we missed since it happened. Right. If I had gotten like any support at all, I would have been more open to talk about it. You know what I mean? And I think we missed a great opportunity to talk about the fact that there are, in fact, women who don't want to have children. Exactly. And that's OK.
And that's OK.
That's too. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's it's our body, it's our choice, and that's fine. Like I often wonder if the elder OBGYN actually she ever really wanted kids. Mm-hmm. And if she didn't, then that's fine. But in our culture, I can tell you that it's far better for you to say that you couldn't have kids than to say you didn't want to have kids, because people look at you as extremely selfish.
They do. Mm-hmm. They're like, what are you going to do? Like, one of my cousins, she's amazing because she is the breadwinner. She works at like a big kind of like Harley Davidson type of company. She's the vice president. Her husband stays at home. They don't have kids. She gets so much slack for that. Why is your husband home? Why don't you have kids? You're so selfish.
So silly.
Who's going to take care of you? I'm like, listen, if you're having kids so they take care of you when you're old, you're going to be disappointed.
Correct. Then they're going to throw your behinds right in the old folks home with that money you saved up or didn't save.
Amen.
And when you don't have kids and you save, you can pay for the Shady Pines Elite plan.
Yes, honey. Not the Elite plan. I love
the
it. Elite,
the Platinum plan, Shady Pines. You can put yourself honey. In a nice place.
Yes. You brought up Mariah, and I wanted to talk to you. I saw an interview she did where she talked about how there were people of color working on the show, and then a lot of them were fired, and then the show was taken from her, which is her words, that Married to Medicine was her idea, and she's a Black, you know, Muslim woman, and they took this show from her. What was your experience with production? Did you feel like there was any moments where it felt like things were not completely, like, on the same level? Like, everything wasn't copacetic?
It just seemed like nobody liked her. And it seemed like she was on an island by herself. Mm-hmm. I can distinctly remember when we were in Savannah on the girls' trip, coming downstairs, and she had been outside. She came in and her lip was swelling up. And the two OBGYNs were sitting next to me. And I said, y'all, look, her lip is like, do you have an allergic reaction, Mariah? And they were like, oh, and went back down to charting. And I was like, girl, let me go get you some Benadryl. And I'm like, the MRSMD is getting the damn Benadryl. What are the OBGYNs doing? Like, just, and that was like cast, not even production. But I mean, we had a dinner, and it was the day before Ramadan. And so she wasn't going to be able to eat, you know what I mean, while we were still there. Exactly. And we were at this restaurant, and someone brought her food. And I don't remember if it was production or a cast member. And she said, is this chicken? And it turned out to be pork. And she went to the bathroom and threw up. It was like horrible, horrible.
Because pork is a big deal. I'm Muslim. Like, if you eat it, like, it's like really bad. Like, people get sick because it's like a mental thing too. When you're
She was really upset. And I remember texting her and I said, I'm gonna have, because I had hair and makeup. You know, I was extra. I had my team there at the hotel, and I was like, I'm gonna have them go get you something else to eat. And they brought it to the house, and she didn't trust me. And then when I brought her the stuff and I hugged her, like, there was something that changed. Mm. Like, she was like, oh, you're not like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And she started opening up to me. And what's interesting is I thought that, and I still do, because we're good friends, actually. We have the most in common, interracial marriage, you know, successful, you know, independent from our own spouses, you know. And she didn't want to hang with me in the beginning. And she later told me it was because the minute you and I become friends, they're going to treat you how they treat me. And that is exactly what happened.
Wow. They truly, I think out of all the Bravo shows, there's so much hate for her.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I didn't see it. And I'm not saying that she's innocent at all. But what I'm saying is, when you feel like you brought on your friends and you put them on this platform for which you feel that you created, and you change their lives, because let me just tell you, they would still be doing this show if they was making this kind of money and had this kind of life in their practices. Let's just real talk.
Okay? Let's
call it spade a spade. And so I don't understand why every season, the last episode isn't a party to thank Mariah. Like, thank you is the easiest invoice that you can pay. And I don't know why people have such difficulties doing it. And really, if that had happened, I think she would be less, you know, upset filming, because let's just be honest, that girl can whip out some looks. She can whip out some green screen confessionals. Mm-hmm. She can read them girls like nobody's business. And she's fun.
She's very fun.
But you can't be fun when people are saying you use drugs and they know you don't. You know.
I mean, if you're puking over eating pork, I doubt you're doing a line of coke.
No, that girl don't do no darn drugs. No, she does not. I mean, she was crying all night. And she's like, I'm Muslim. You don't understand. She called Aiden. It was horrible, Amir. It was horrible.
Very horrible. And the Muslim community is quite judgmental, like most religious communities, and they will turn on you if they're going to the mosque. And first of all, I'm sure some people turned on them for just doing the show, let alone mm-hmm. now you're doing drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a no-go. So, mm-hmm. but it's so sad that she felt like on such an island, because like I said, I really like her, and I thought she was such a light on the show. She was so fun.
She is fun. She is a light. She's really smart. She's really kind. She's really giving. And yeah, she probably cussed some girls out. Sure. And yeah, she probably did some dirt because them girls did it to her. Let's just, if somebody come for me, I'm going to come for your behind too.
Uh-huh.
And you get pushed in a corner, it is what it is. But they have not been the most supportive bunch. And I mean, I heard there was some, oh, when she first started the show, she tried to give them some contract. Well, just don't sign it and keep it moving, but don't hold it against her forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't act like production ain't trying to give you some janky 360 deal too. Okay.
You better like, say it for the cheap seats.
No, don't try that. Don't act like they didn't try that too now. Okay.
Right. And it's a very long running show. I think it's 8 or 9 seasons. So like you're still holding on from season one. Like, let it go.
They are. They really are. It's really sad. And like, I thought it was gonna be like fun and like light shade and the occasional drama and like kicking and no, and it's not fake. They really don't like each other. That's not fake. Come on, let me tell you something. It's like, some days I was like, where's security?
Seriously. Real talk. No, it's true. And do you think that like sometimes when you went and hung out with your quote unquote normal friends, people that are not on the show, do you think that like you felt more dramatic because of being on TV? Like, did that ever rub off in your real life? Or were you able to just be like, I'm not. These are my real friends. I'm not going to be dramatic.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'm Buffy. I'm always dramatic. I'm always extra. She's the same everywhere, darling.
Yes.
And so like, a lot of people were like, are you worried about your clients? I'm like, no, I act a fool and cut up with them mugs too. Everybody's like, yep, that's Buffy. I'm the same person always. Yep. I'm not code switching. I'm not switching up. I mean, like I've been doing, I think a good job of posting on my social media to show people that I'm the same way with my white in-laws and my mother-in-law, who's a minister, that I am with my girls when I go hang out with them. Mm-hmm. I'm the same person. And I feel like real is rare and real should be respected.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And speaking of real, like if y'all are not following Buffy on TikTok and Instagram, you're missing out. But really, TikTok, you've really kind of found your stride, like the reply videos and with your husband and just responding to the shady comments about, you know, and I know we've talked about this when we did Potomac, the whole bed wench comments and
yeah.
All that. How do you navigate? You've done it in such a brilliant way where you're not letting them affect you, but you're schooling them at the same time. How did you find that sweet spot?
I try to always make everything a teachable moment. Uh-huh. So my brand of shade is I'm gonna shade you, but in a classy way, and I'm gonna teach you behind something. And hopefully you'll learn and you'll keep subscribing to my page and keep learning. Cause you know, if I'm just evil, like some of these people they follow and all they're doing is taking pictures and I'm so fabulous trying to sell you stuff and not giving you anything. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give a read cause people gonna come for that, but they're gonna leave learning something.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, sharing Dave, he's the best hubby ever. I don't know how I conned him into marrying me because I'm a hot goddamn mess. Oh. But that our life and our very happy life and our very happy home with our pups who are our kids, you know, I want to share it with the world because everybody needs some happy. And sometimes we're not happy. I share when I cuss his ass out.
There you go.
And that's real. And people need to not think that marriage is always roses and lingerie. Sometimes it's, I will drown your ass in that bath water that I said I would lick yesterday.
I know. I feel you. And I think sometimes when parents don't share, the kids also get confused. Like growing up, my parents never fought. And the one time they fought, me and my sister thought they were getting a divorce because everything was so shut down. But when you're expressive and you have those arguments and you move forward, perfection is not for life. It's really
not. It's not. And like, I, when my nephews are around and Dave and I are arguing, they laugh and they immediately take Dave's side, whether I'm right or not. Right. And it just, you know, and our arguments are like, child, nothing. But, you know, it's real and it's life. And you're going to have disagreements, especially if you think about it. You're married. Yeah. And they're your lover and they're your best friend. But it's also a roommate. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It is true.
Get on your nerves.
Uh-huh. They don't put the seat down, honey. They don't clean the dishes. Like,
they leave socks on the floor, and I'm OCPD, and I want everything organized.
Same here. I remember my ex. It was always like, he's like, why do you need to move the socks? I'm like, but why are they on the floor? Like,
right.
Well, how did you? I've never taken my socks off in a way where they end up on the floor. You put them on, they're in your hand, you put them in the hamper. I just never got that.
I don't understand how dishes end up in the sink when there's two dishwashers or a dishwasher right there. Like, why don't you rinse it and put it in the dishwasher? That's where it goes. Everything has a home. Why is it homeless? Why is it on the counter?
Yes. Amen. Why do you need four cups on the bedside? How thirsty are you? Like,
right. Refill all day and then wash that.
Amen. I'm like, how thirsty are you? Like, yeah, it's, you know, but on that topic of like, my ex was Ethiopian, and even in LA, we'd walk down the street and people would say, oh my God. And they'd be like, good for you. And people would do that. You know, those comments where they're too savage. You're so brave. I had someone say, you're so brave. And I'm well-educated. I come from a good family, but I will flip a table for someone I love. So,
I don't blame you. I can tell that's why we love each other.
That's why we love each other. We love each other. We get each other. And I told her, and I remember, and my ex was so upset. He was like, why do you have to do this? I was like, I'm so brave. You should give me the medal of fucking honor that I'm with this beautiful black man. Like, what do you want from me?
Chow, you, the stuff people say to us in Atlanta, Georgia, it's insane. And like, we'll be at dinner and Dave and I are a very affectionate couple. And I mean, we're all booed up, eating off each other's plates before COVID, making out, all this stuff.
Yes.
And inevitably the waitress or waiter will come and say, do you need two checks? And you know, it happens once, it's okay. But every time you go, It's like someone's forcing you to validate your choice in a spouse, and it gets on your nerves. Mm-hmm. And so David would start ordering my food for me, and I hate that crap, but he'd say, my wife will have, because he didn't want that to happen at the end, you know? And it's just things that interracial couples have to deal with that other people don't, you know?
He also would,
things would go over his head. Like someone would say some racist crap and he just, it would miss him. And one day he just kind of said, babe, I'm a 6'1" German white doctor. This didn't happen to me before we got together. And so you got to kind of like help a brother out, you know? Yeah. And I said, I can understand that, but you're going to have to wake the hell up too.
Amen. Amen to that. I mean, I'm white passing, so a lot of people would assume I was white. So they would, it was funny. Like, he literally would tell the waitress like five times, I'm treating him, it's his birthday. And they would give me the check every time.
Yeah.
They would give me the check. You know, he drove like a really nice car and they would be like, oh, we just brought your car out to the valet. And I'm like, it's his car. And they're like, your car is so wonderful. I'm like, what the? This is LA.
Yeah.
Like, Or people would say, like, I remember one of my colleagues asked, like, oh, what does he do for work? And I was like, oh, he works in sales. And they were like, oh, for a record company? And I'm like.
No, I remember, my first car that I ever bought for myself wasn't even a big Benz. It was a little baby Benz.
Yeah.
And I remember taking it to get serviced. And I remember going with David to go pick it up. And I remember the lady behind the counter, she was like, you're so lucky. And I was like, why? And she was like, because Dr. Dave bought you this car. And I was like, no, I wrote the check that bought this car, honey, and I gave him a prenuptial agreement when we got married because he was still a resident. Not that it's your business, but I'm going to just school you.
So stupid. The people are so awful. And then I remember that one last story of people's ridiculousness. I was at a Christmas party and one of my boss's wife, she turned to me and said, he must live with you. And I thought, why? He has his own apartment. And I didn't get it. And then my ex in the car was like, you know what she was saying? Like, I'm black, so I don't have a place to live. I'm living.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And those are the times where kind of like your hubby, I had to get schooled.
You had to get schooled.
I had heard the like, you're a terrorist or you can't get through airport security. Or it was really kind of at an airport. It didn't happen outside of that as much. So I had to really school moments or like Ubers where the driver would say, like, I remember one of the drivers was like, oh, we have a very big cleaning fee, like right when we got in. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
And my ex would be like, those are things that you have to get used to hearing. And it's hard because I'm so sassy, but sometimes you really can't flip a car when you're in the back seat. So you have to keep your mouth shut. And that's really hard for me.
Extremely hard. And imagine every day What do you mean? You understand? You're a Muslim man. You get it. I mean, you're white passing, but you still hear people talking fly and you're going to get them straight. Definitely. It, you know, having to go out into a world and people just being reckless with their mouths and disrespectful, especially in this climate with 45 is crazy. But I live for your TikToks and Instagrams, honey. You go in on 45. Baby, I live for it.
Thank you. Someone told me, they're like, well, we can't hold people account. Like, he's the president and we have to respect the position. I'm like, if he don't respect the position, I ain't going to respect it either.
Right. This mug playing golf and people dying every day. He don't respect the position.
You don't. Obama went to Hawaii once in one time. And everyone said he was so disrespectful. And he has a house here and he was like he was coming here and literally helping the economy by being here.
He wore one tan suit and looked amazing and everybody lost their damn mind. Trump wig dripping.
I mean, get yourself a good clam team.
You guys, I know, grow, right?
But get yourself a glam team. Like, we'll pay for it. The tax people will pay for it.
We don't want you making us look crazy on the world stage.
Did you see Giuliani dripping?
Wow, that baby needs to sit down somewhere, honey.
Oh my God, he needs to take some seats.
A hot mess.
That's amazing. Well, listen, speaking of your opinion, I love your opinion. So I want to get your opinion on some Bravo shows. So I want to start with OC because it's a hot mess with Kelly Dodd acting a fool in these streets, talking about drunk lives matter and dating Fox News reporters, whatever. She's a mess. So I need to know what you think about this very white Housewives franchise.
So, you know, I haven't watched OC this season because I've joined the boycott because of Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends, you know, on the cast. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she got to go.
She's got to go. We got to fire her.
She got to go.
If we're not going to let her on Watch What Happens Live, Andy literally has banned her from that show. Mm-hmm. Why are we having her on the network? I don't understand.
Right. And so, you know, she's got to go and it's a good franchise. Get rid of her. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of her and let her be reckless somewhere else.
Yes.
But not on Bravo, because that's just not what Bravo is supposed to be about. And mm-hmm. So it's time for them to like step up. She's not that valuable commodity. Get rid of. I mean, she's a person. That's mm-hmm. fine. But mm-hmm. she is not what I believe Bravo's brand is, and she needs to go.
Amen. Yeah. She's been very transphobic in the past. I actually called her out and she called me a bitch. And that was a high point for me because I was like, good. And I got blocked because she, with Bronwyn's son, he came out and doesn't know what he is. And she had to mm-hmm. aggressively go, is he gay or transgender? Why do you need to know so aggressively?
Yeah, why is it your business? Be quiet. Have several seats.
Right. And she don't like that. Right. So, you know what? Like, again, like you said, she's a person, but we need to kind of get her out of the problem. Mm-hmm.
That's not the stage for her. It's not the place. We don't have time to be doing all that. Nope.
Well, thank you. No. Well, that's the Buffy exclusive is a no thank you. I love it. What about, did you watch Salt Lake City? Have you seen
it? Yeah, that's my new favorite. Listen, Jen and Mayri, as I call her, Mayri, breakout stars, baby. Yes.
Oh my God. Jen is Mayri, a star.
Granddaddy husband. Yes.
He's not bad looking.
No, honey, he's not. I ain't mad at her, but you know darn well, grandma did not write in her will that you need to marry your granddaddy.
Grandma's rolling in her grave, honey. She is not
mad, honey. Mad. But, you know, she was keeping that coin, that wire, so I can't be mad at Mayri.
I love Mayri. When she performed in that church, honey, she was feeling it with all her morsels. So I was into it.
I would go just to see her, honey. Mm-hmm. But somebody help her with her hair. Just do that for me. Just give her a little tug on that wig. Just a little bit. And no more Christmas tree green Valentino with white grocery store pantyhose.
Agreed. It looked very much like what you thought you were ordering and what you actually got.
And I am here for Jen. I don't know why, but there's just something about her that is very interesting.
I like her. When she was just saying grinder, and dancing up and just saying assalamu alaikum, bitches, even though I was offended at first, I was like, I'm down for her.
I like her. I like her family. Mm-hmm. I like her. Yeah.
I'm down with her. And the breakout star is Brooks. Everyone's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. The green screen, honey.
He's so fun. And I love that we're pretending that the two of them left school to see their mom. Honey, they left to be on a Bravo show. Yeah,
Bravo, honey. That was smart. You get your child, whatever. That was brilliant.
Yeah, he's like, I'm taking a year off. Seems
I would too.
I would too, girl.
I would too, honey. And the fact that she had her vagina in my face, I was just like, yes, read her.
She was so offended. I loved it.
My mom was like hanging out with someone that would put their vagina in the face.
She was so perturbed. I loved it. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, that's going to be a good franchise. I'm really impressed because I thought they should have done Chicago or San Francisco, but I think that Salt Lake really crept up and I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the fact that Jen and Mayuri don't know how to ski and live there. Girl, you got Fendi fits on and out there with the children ski slopes. I don't get it.
That was funny. She's like, I'm going to pretend I'm on the Black Diamond. And I'm like, girl, we can see the grass behind you.
You gotta go higher.
It's like, baby, what you doing, honey? You just want to be cute. I get it.
I'm not mad at it. And obviously, we're on All About the Tea together. All we do is talk about Potomac. But I want to hear what your thoughts are about the reunion looks. Because they just came out and
Wendy looked the best, honey, hands down.
Ooh. Wendy, I thought Wendy looked so good, honey.
Yeah, Wendy did look good. I'll give it. But Monique, I feel like 10s across the board.
But Karen's outfit was a miss for me. It was a lot of lace and it looked kind of a mess.
I like the hair though.
Oh, the hair, honey. The makeup.
Yeah, I was for her hair. Yeah. And what did Robin have on? What's the mustard yellow situation?
I don't know.
And she has a cute shake, girl. Show what you're doing. I don't know.
She looked like that's really like very drag. That outfit was very drag. It didn't really suit her. I feel like that
would and it would have looked better with somebody with more bod, like ass and thighs, and you know,
Giselle and her should have switched outfits.
Yeah. Because Giselle has a little junk. Yeah. She got a little thickness.
A little things. So I was talking to Deandra earlier, Deandra Simmons, and she was telling me that Candace called her and was asking about mommy issues that she has. So that she's trying to get advice from Deandra. But I mean, Candace, honey, what are we going to do with her? What are we going to do with her?
Child, they're not going to get rid of her. She's great. She's TV gold, honey.
They love her.
What do we call her? Candy ass.
Candy ass.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to shade on her because remember, I learned the little trick with the dabbing now because you know I'm allegedly a crybaby too. Can't see me, but I'm... I'm dabbing my eyes right now. They're watering a bit. Thank you for that, Candy Ass. I appreciate you. Yeah. She calling Deandra. That's funny. They are not the same. Deandra is not evil. I'm friends with Deandra and Mama D. So
Deandra's one.
I'm going to have to call Deandra. Like, child, you been talking to that little girl.
Acting a fool, calling people rusty ass bitch. I mean, it's
worse than that. Telling people bed wenches and wishing people to die, and just like she, that mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's well, okay to
die, Buffy. That did die.
That's
a really horrific thing.
Horrific. Somebody just doing their job, like child, like okay. Yeah, she really does behave like a petulant child. And, you know, I know that's harsh, but it's accurate and apt. Mm-hmm. And she needs to, you know, work on herself. And that mouth is too much. Ooh. It's okay to be fly at the mouth a little bit, but you're trying to kill people with what you're saying. Stop, mm-hmm. Candy ass, stop. Because she's a cute girl and she'd be fun.
She's so cute. She was on Watch What Happens Live and I started liking her. And then I was like, halfway through the episode, I was like, oh, wait, this is Candy. Okay, I can't like her.
Yeah. Like, and she doesn't realize how much damage she's done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know.
What are you going to do? Hopefully she'll learn her lesson. But, I mean, the problem is she's already seen herself for 2 seasons and hasn't learned anything. So
and is amping it up even more. So, yeah, I think it's who she is and she's here to stay. Yes. But, you know, if she gets too out of pocket, she's going to be like Kelly Dodd. So she better slow her roll.
She better stole her because nobody thinks Kelly Dodd sweating all over Rick Rosenthal or whatever his name is cute anymore. They had a whole sex scene and they were rolling in the bed together. I don't need to see that.
Oh, no.
I don't need to see that.
The producer's wrong for that. Not sure.
They were on top of each other. Like, it was very, very soap opera-esque.
Yeah. Well, you know, the soap opera is doing the mannequins, not child.
The mannequins are bad.
They're COVID protected.
That's amazing. No,
that's horrible. Did you see a picture of
Denise Richards with the mannequin? She was acting for the mannequin. Girl, that brought me to life.
I love Denise. I don't care what they say.
I love Denise too, honey. I love her. Listen, she's better than Vanderpump. She came to the reunion.
Yeah, she did. It took it. Yep, yep. And I love that she was being true to herself. She isn't a glam. I'm not doing all that glam every day. That's not who I am. And she doesn't have to. T.
And they're meeting in the hotel room. If someone told me I had to do full glam to go to someone's hotel room, I wouldn't do it.
I'm like, babu. I ain't sure. Anybody? No. Please. No.
But I like, you know what I liked about her, Buffy, was that she was studying her lines while the reunion was going.
Yeah, yeah. Just boss. Like, so unbothered by this. This is the reunion. Like, this is not the pinnacle of my life. I am Denise Effin Richards.
Yeah. I have places to be. I rented a home. I have a nice backdrop. I don't care about y'all.
Yeah, she didn't care. Yeah. She was real. I'm for that. And when she didn't want to talk about something, she was like, bravo, bravo, bravo. It stopped me. Period.
I loved that. I loved that. And I love that, you know, and God bless Denise for bringing us Garcelle because.
Oh, yeah.
You know, love her. So that's good. Yeah. I'm not mad at that.
I love her.
Last question I have for you is, you know, if we could go back in time and you didn't do Married to Medicine, was there another show you would do on Bravo that you would jump on another cast?
Done Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, I think you and Candy. I think would be like.
Yeah, Candy. Yeah, 100%. I have a lot of respect for her.
I love.
Yeah,
that.
She's the original crawl before you ball reality star. Like she, balls on a budget. She, you know, empowers people by creating all these companies and creating all these jobs. She's totally like, she's on another level. Mm-hmm. but no, I have a lot of respect for Candy.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And some of the girls are fun. I've seen them at parties in town back before COVID. So yeah, I think I would. And a funny thing is, and you know, Nene doesn't know anybody, but but when Nene was in college, she dated my Uncle Brent. And what's funny is one of her son's name is Brenton. And I would always ask my uncle, and my uncle was like, no.
I love it. Yeah, I'm sure if you told her, she'd be like, who that? Who?
Who? I don't know. Yeah.
I can't with that.
Horrible deal, so I'm sure she remembers him.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Yeah, like it's crazy, the whole Atlanta angle. Like, I think you would be so good. But what would be your do you have like a tagline? Can you come up with a tagline?
Don't let the glasses fool you.
Yes! Oh my God. Don't let the glasses fool you, because I'll school you.
That's right, baby.
Yes, honey. Listen, I could talk to you forever, but I'm going to let you go. But just tell everyone where they can follow you and, you know, keep up with you.
Yeah, I'm justbeingbuffy.com. I'm a big TikToker like Amir. So Just Being Buffy on TikTok. And I have a new YouTube channel called Just Being Buffy, where I drop financial gems and lifestyle gems every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern. So please subscribe.
Yes, honey. I subscribed and I didn't regret it. And I love all the tax knowledge. It's amazing.
Thank you, love. This was fun, Amir.
So fun. We have to do a duet on TikTok. That's going to be
fun. I've been thinking about that. I'm going to text you.
Okay. Done. I love you. And thanks, everyone, for being here. Buffy Purcell, honey. Go follow her. She's everything.
Yeah.
I love you. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On, and of course on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.